Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you all. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. To God be all the glory and the honor. I am Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And as always, it is my pleasure, truly my pleasure, to be with you today. I thank God for you. There is none like you. And I don't know what I would do sometimes without you. Amen, amen. So let me say that until December the 16th, December the 16th, that will be the last day that we will be broadcasting under these conditions where I'm not able to see the studio. After that, everything should be back to normal. So I do thank you for your patience. I thank you for your love, your prayers, all of that good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So good morning to Tamika Shelton. Praise be unto God. You know how I feel about this woman of God, to her mother Joyce, to Minister, praise be unto God, Minister Tabika Garnes, to Minister Tabika Garnes, praise be unto her, to Prophetess Dorn and Prophetess Kim, and Isaiah in Chicago, and Deacon Thomas Farr, and you guys know, the list goes on and on and on. Praise be unto God. And I'm just good morning to you all. And Joyce, thank you, my love. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Also, Joyce in New York. I'm telling you, you guys just really mean so much to me. You really mean so much to me. And again, I do apologize, you know, for the change in our format and so forth. I do apologize for that. But so not December, but December the 16th is the last day that we should have to broadcast in this manner. And we should be, you know, where things are better than what they are right now. So just bear with me. Hang in there, folks. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I love you immensely. I love you immensely. So let us go ahead and open in prayer. And, just let's open in prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, and God, there is none like you. I thank you for this awesome day. Yes, for me, it is awesome, and that is because I have the opportunity, Lord God, to spend time with you today, to be here with you, Lord God, to represent you one more time here on earth. Lord God, this makes it awesome. And I know there are people that are suffering. I know there are people that are hurting. There are people that wish they did not see another day. And, Father, for those folks, God, I stand in the gap. I stand in the gap. I ask you to release angels on their behalf, Father God. Release angels, oh God. Dispatch them to the location of where they are, whether it's in the hospital, the jail, on the street, in the crack house, in abusive relationships in homes, whether they're working today, Lord, where they feel they have no hope, Lord God, send a spirit of hope into these places, Lord. Oh, Lord God, raise the folks up from a spiritual death, Lord God. Raise them up, Father God, so that they would believe in you, that they will know that you exist, O God. Father, let them see that so many times their own wills have been put before yours, O God. Lord, let your will be done in the name of Jesus here on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, my God, we're in such perilous times, O God, And Father, we need you. We need you more today than what we did on yesterday. We need you, Lord God, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord God, there are times when we don't think we're going to make it, but Lord, when I flip the page and there you are, I can hold on one more day. So, Lord God, touch the hearts of the listeners today here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Lord, where there's a broken heart, please mend it this morning, oh God. Lord, where there's sickness, please heal. Where there's imprisonment, oh God, whether it's mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, God, deliver today, oh Lord God. Father, you are mighty in all your ways. There is none like you, Lord God. And Father, I know if we seek you first, seek your kingdom and righteousness, Lord God, that Father, everything we need will be added unto us. That is your word and your promise, Father. And you cannot tell a lie, for you are not a man that you would lie, oh God. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you for binding the hand of the enemy that he would not our lives. Lord, I praise your holy name. So, Father, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we shall give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. All right, beloved. All right. Yes, today we still only have a half an hour time. And so we're going to cover as much as we can in this. And I want to, speak briefly here on godly marriages, growing godly marriages. That's what I want to speak with you about today. And we know that the marriages today, as many of those all the way back into the biblical time, that marriages are in trouble. They're in trouble. But today, when we look at the marriages today, that for every marriage there is a divorce. In other words, about 50% of marriages end up in divorce. And when we deal with conflict and violence, many families are quarreling continually, and they even become violent. Nearly one-third of all murders are committed between family members. You know, that's a shocking statistic, but it is. And also for females that commit murder, and I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but typically females that commit murder normally do so while they are on their cycle. Did you hear that? While they are on their cycle. We know there are different emotions that we feel, the women, that we feel while we're going through our cycle. And there's a time when we're feeling very romantic and want to be intimate. There's a time when we are very sensitive and emotional. So no matter what anyone says to me, you know, that it could be something that offends me, something that would make me cry because I'm emotional and so forth. So we go through those changes. Then there's a time where we go through times of, confrontation. He says up, I'm going to say down. He says black, I'm going to say white. You know, that there's just arguments. And out of this, conflict and violence comes. So beware of this. I have said this before on our show, that women need to be very mindful of their cycle time so that they're able to track their moods and so forth and help the family to be able to communicate in harmony during this time. So moving on, fornication and sexual unfaithfulness. Premarital sex and even extramarital sex is commonly accepted these days. And that is such a mean thing as well, that we don't honor what is to be our marital bed. We don't honor ourselves enough to keep ourselves until we get married. And the thing is that this is more and more acceptable across the board. This is not just amongst unsaved people. Saved people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are still fornicating, and even in marriage are being unfaithful. And it is just sad, and that we no longer honor ourselves or honor God's law, you know, that we stay pure until we get married. And no, honey, look, I am nobody's saint. I am nobody's saint. So, no, I did not wait until I got married. I did not wait until I got married. I'm one of those girls that one time, you know, before marriage, but that one time is as bad as anyone who did it 50 times before they got married, you know, 100 times before they got married. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. So we need to be aware of these things as we mature in the Lord. Come to the Lord exactly the way that you are. Exactly the way that you are. You can't clean yourself up enough to come into the presence of God. You can't clean yourself up enough. As an unsaved person, you come as you are. That's right. Drugs, fornication, violence, divorced, whatever you've done. Whatever you have done, come to him. He loves you. He loves you just the way that you are. But the marvelous thing about this love, he loves you too much to let you stay that same way. That's right. So to all of you rich people, praise God, you are financially blessed. Those of you that are loaded with education, you are more intellectual than the average Joe. You've got many degrees. Those of you that are entrepreneurs, own many businesses, you are multimillionaires. Guess what? You still need Jesus. You still need Jesus. If you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you know, you are just the same as the person, excuse me, that is standing on the street corner. You get no preference just because you know how to wear a suit or a beautiful dress and can get your hair done every week and your nails every week and your pedicure every week. The man getting his hair cut every week. No, you're no different. We're all in this together. Without Jesus in our lives, we are all sinners. And all of us need the Savior, all of us. And God said that I wish that none of you would perish, none of you. And once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, beloved, we are guaranteed eternal life. That's right, eternal life we are guaranteed. So praise be unto God. Back to the marriages, we have rebellious and delinquent children. Many young people today rebel against the moral and the religious standards that have been taught by their parents. And unfortunately as well, there are many parents who aren't teaching this in their home, teaching the moral and religious standards that should be lived. And where it is being taught, the young folks are rebelling against it, trying to be part of the in crowd, wanting to do what their friends do, don't want to be singled out, left alone, Oh, my God, children of the Most High God, we've got to get better at what we do. And then, of course, there is the confusion about authority and roles in the home. We are told that it is old-fashioned for parents to insist that their children obey them or to use physical punishment to motivate them. We are told that we cannot do this. We shouldn't even insist on them obeying us. Society often opposes belief in separate roles, you know, for husband and wives, instead of them coming together and raising the family together and sharing in the responsibility and so forth. You know, people just want the men to do certain things, the women to do certain things, and those things should never, ever be crossed over the line and therefore giving us rules for separation and breaking down of the family home. And we don't want that to continue to happen. When we look at the marriage and studying marriage, this is something that every person needs to do. Whether you're married, whether you're engaged, whether you think that you'll never be married, this is things that you should look into. And the reason would be, if you're married, you need to understand how to best plan the things that should go on in your marriage. If you are divorced, you need to understand still what is the best way for a marriage to run, just in case you're getting married again. If you are someone that says, I don't ever want to be married, you still, you still need to know what are the best rules and principles for marriage, because guess what? You are going to speak to married people, and when you know what God wants in a marriage, you are able to tell them according to the word of God. You can still minister to someone about marriage, even if you've never been married, when you're telling them God's purpose of marriage. God's purpose of marriage. So marriages can be improved, praise be unto God. Marriages can go from good to better, better to best. Those, like I said, that are hoping to be married, you'll be prepared for marriage so that you can continue to work on it prior to things. And religion plays a very, very important part of your marriage. Listen, next year, 2018, one of the things that I will be doing is doing workshops on for those that are engaged or living together or thinking about getting married, might have just started dating and already feel like this is the one I want to spend my life with. I am going to be doing Symbis workshops, and that's SYMBIS. And that stands for saving your marriage before it starts. Saving your marriage before it starts. I will be doing workshops on that. There's an assessment that you take, and in that assessment, we're able to look at many different facets of your relationship, looking at the both of your personalities, looking at your previous home life, living with your parents, their marriage and or divorce, looking at your financial situation, looking at what your ideas are dealing with sex, looking at where religion plays a part in your life, looking at your social habits, looking at your educational background. I mean, there's so much that we're going to touch on when we look at Simba's saving your marriage before it starts. Yes, and there is an assessment as well for married people. Yes, for the married folks. And this helps me when I am doing counseling. You know, we go through these things and we see what it is that we can see the major breakdown. And do you know that people that live together that have expectations of one another because of what it was like in the relationships that they saw? And when they came into the marriage, they had no idea that this is what you were looking for. This was what you expected. And so, therefore, things get off-kilter real quick, because both of you came into the marriage with different points of view. And you're trying to figure out how in the world could he or she do some of the things that they're doing. I thought they were blank, 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 blank. I thought they believed blank, 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 blank. And these things, the things you could have touched on before you got married, but you didn't. So now let's look at them in the marriage, get communication going and flowing so that we understand one another, that we can do so in a better manner and improving on what it is we're doing. And that is so important. People, when they get married, they follow, you know, what the world has to say. They practice, they do the practices of society by following the advice of neighbors and friends instead of listening to the word of God. They carry the practices of their parents into their home. If it's not their parents, it's other family members. You know, there's so much that we do, and we need to follow God's standard and let him set the standard, let him set the bar for what it is that we should be doing. And that's so vitally important to your love life, to your marriage, your relationship, to you as being a parent, to you as being a parent. So, again, I want to, really push, really, and let me not say push because I'm not a Bible thumper, but I'm a lover of the Word of God. I'm a lover of the Word of God. And I know that God created marriage and the home. He created it from the very beginning. And he knows what's best, and he has written about it in the Word of God. Teach us and instruct us how to do all good works. And good work, isn't our marriage considered something that should be good? So we should be working on it. You know, most people don't plan what to do in a marriage, but we should make a plan. We should have a vision of what a marriage is supposed to look like and then compare that to what the Father is telling us. Baby, if you Google marriages God's way, and you will get scripture upon scripture on what to be done. And no, every single thing isn't covered, but enough that you could have a good marriage. God's wisdom in all of this is better and higher than the wisdom of any man. His wisdom is higher than the earth, his wisdom. And therefore, it is God's wisdom, understanding his purpose, that we should be leaning on. So I pray that you will seek the Word of God. Seek the Word of God. Google marriage God's way. I'm telling you, there's just so much. You know, there's a scripture, Psalms 127 and verse 1. 127 and verse 1. And it's similar. I don't know if I'm quoting it correctly, but it's about, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that do it. And a lot of times we use the scripture when we're talking about building the house of the Lord. But do you understand that Christ should be the Lord of your physical house as well as your spiritual house? So you, if you're not having Jesus welcomed in your physical home, then everything that you are doing to build your home, it will be in vain. Except the Lord builds the house. They that labor, labor in vain. So won't you be sure that you and your wife are spending time in the Word together? Do that. Won't you see to it that you're spending time with your children and the Word together? So vitally, so vitally important. There is a couple that I am counseling now, and I recommended that they get a couple's devotional Bible, and they did. And saints of God, let me tell you, what they are doing with this word, with the word, is really blessing our counseling sessions, really blessing it. They go through their devotional every single day. And there are questions that they are able to ask one another. And the devotional is by topic. So it's a topical devotional. And so, you know, so let's say you look at the topic on forgiveness. They have a devotion on forgiveness, and then they have questions that you're able to ask one another, and it opens up doors for conversation. And a couple that did not verbally communicate well are communicating. Oh, my gosh, they are communicating so well with one another. And the promise is, as they ask these questions of one another, they promise not to be angry about the other person's answer. So they promise not to argue about it, but to actually hold discussion. They need to be each other's safe ground in order to be honest and truthful. Your mate can't be honest with you if the moment that they are telling you the truth, you flare up, you curse them out, you call them all kinds of names, you don't go to bed with them, you do all of that, and then you think that they're going to want you to ask another question and they answer it honestly, not going to happen. You must let it be a safe ground. And so the devotional with these questions is helping an awful lot. Saints of God, I'm sorry, beloved. We're at the end of our time today already. This half an hour goes very quickly. But like I said, starting the third or fourth week of December, we'll be back on target. Babies, I love you. I adore you. Let Jesus be the center of your marriage. The center of it. So now, beloved, above all things, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time just because you knew what to do with the blessings that he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. Therefore, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you go forth even this day and be a blessing unto someone. And when you do, on purpose, know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, God loves you more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.